And you can't do anything about that. It's not like, okay, I'm going to go out there with my water hose and, you know, spray a little stuff on the ground. You know, it almost seems like an impossibility. We were going to try to keep some grass growing alongside the building and, you know, just a little bit so it looked green, you know. But you couldn't water it enough. And you kind of just gave up. And you kind of gave up on the dust, just let the dust take over. What do, you know? Because it's been blowing all the construction and stuff. But when God comes in, and about 4:10 this morning, I just felt like I was awake and I was going, and he said, speak it out. And so I'm laying in my bed and I'm saying, God, release the rain. Because it was almost like it was in a pregnancy state that it couldn't be released. But I knew, I mean, it was lightning and thundering and all those things. So, you know, I mean, let that baby go. And it started raining. It was the most gentle rain. I mean, it was so cool. You know, it was thundering, lightning, but nothing, no wind. And it was just a gentle rain for about 4 hours. How cool is that? And, you know, in all my effort and everything that I could probably try to accomplish with that, I'd never be able to take my water hose and do anything, you know, to that extent. You know, you think about the miracle working God that we have, that is our Father. And when we pray, and he asked me specifically, he said, you pray. So it wasn't like, oh God, please send the rain. I said, God, bring the rain, bring an inch and a half. And I don't know how much it was, but it was powerful because all the ground was covered. They actually had puddles in our parking lot. Now, you're going, well, why are we talking about that? It's the greatest miracle that could ever be. If we didn't have rain, if we didn't have the, you know, God moving on our behalf, your water hose isn't going to make it. Amen. And so with your water hose, you probably get one of them fancy deals and roll it up and put it in the garage and expect God to move on your behalf. And I've been thinking about that for a pretty good length of time, you know. He said if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, you know, a mustard seed is very, very small. In fact, if you were going to try to take one, you could probably take wheat's pretty small. Maybe oats, you could probably get a little bit better handle on it. But a mustard seed is very difficult to even hold. And he said, if you had faith, so in other words, it doesn't sound like you need a lot of faith, but you need some faith. And I was listening to Joel Osteen, and Joel Osteen said that faith is the currency from heaven. Okay? You know, you like currency? You know, the only thing about currency, if you get a $100 bill and you put it on your head for a hat, it doesn't work so good. You know, you can put it up there, but the $100 bill does not produce a hat. Or if you're going to go in and buy a suit, maybe you couldn't get a suit for $100. I think you can some places. But if you're going to buy a suit, you couldn't put the dollar bill on your chest and say, I'm wearing a suit. But that $100 represents something that currency is that you can bring it in and you can turn that in to buy the suit, to buy the hat, to buy whatever you have in your hand. And you know, in the kingdom of God, faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. Just think about that. Let's say it together. Faith is the currency of heaven. Okay, so if that's the case, if we have faith and God is, he has everything. I mean, in heaven, you know, I think maybe it even says it here. Let's see, touching heaven, changing earth. You know what? If we tap into the realm of faith, touching heaven, changing earth, touching heaven, changing earth. When we start doing that, things begin to happen in our lives. And before Christ, things were happening, but it wasn't such a pretty place that I was in. You know, And but as soon as I made a decision, and I don't even know if I made that decision, but someone had to say something to say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. And you know, at 26 years old, really not wanting, you think I wanted to be a preacher? I mean, really. At 26 and all this stuff, well, in fact, I never even considered that you could become a preacher. I didn't even know what's a preacher, you know? What's a pastor? What's all this stuff? So there was nothing in me that wanted any of that, except I knew I needed a Savior. I needed a Lord. I needed someone to take control of who I am at that time and to be able to change me. And, you know, we've been talking about upgrade. We've been talking about things that are positive. We've been talking about the strength of God when He comes in. Things change. Amen? And I think that if we all could walk your walk, because my walk's my walk, but your walk's your walk, and He does the same thing for all of us. Amen? And, you know, sometimes you say, well, where are the miracles? The miracles are all around us. But there's a battle to be fought, right? You know, the first day I believed, I said, you know, when I gave my life to Jesus, everything turned out perfectly. I mean, I started feeling so perfect, and I never had to fight another battle. No, that is when I started fighting the battle, and I didn't even know what the battle was, but something began to happen in me that literally changed my life. I become born again from above, and I started leaving the places that I used to live in, you know. And I don't know. I think I'm strong enough to go back into those places and make a difference, because we were at the Eagles. Well, they had a big meal on Friday night, and I never seen so many people come out for ribs. It was pretty phenomenal. And they were young and they were old. I mean, some had been 95 years old the way they were walking. It wasn't me, but you know what? The world needs Jesus. And if you can get them on the path of Jesus, then everything starts changing for their lives. I'm thanking God that I seen the path at 26 years old, saying, hey, I'm going to get on that path and start walking. In such a short time, from being born again of the Spirit of God, living for something that was worth living for, it changed, a total perspective change on my mind. Amen? And I started hanging around with people. How could I ever be trained? How could you ever be a Christian? How could you ever get into this, what they would call Christianity, and actually make the deal happen? You can't, but God can. Amen? He changes everything. He begins to change everything. And within 3 months, I actually felt like I could do something to promote God instead of always tearing down the kingdom of God. And you started promoting God, and it felt so good that you wanted to do it some more. And so from being born again of the Spirit of God, I went to areas that saying, okay, maybe I'll step out here. How do you get trained when you don't even want to be trained? You know, did you go and say, now I'm going to go to seminary, and I'm going to get all the training. I'm going to get everything that I want to grab a hold of so I can represent God in a proper way. I didn't want to. That was never in my, you know, we just opened up, Sandra and myself just opened up a concrete company, and we were working that, and it was working pretty good, and we wanted Jesus because Jesus felt good. Everything was looking pretty cool. But then he said something. Hello. When he says something, if you listen to it and you do it, and then something will happen good, and then something will also happen not so good. Because the good is so good. But what happens is that you go under great tribulation or persecution sometimes when you make good decisions. Because if you make a good decision, then there's going to be enough people to try to keep you in your old thought. Like my VFW buddies, you know, I'd meet, you'll be back. 3 months later, you'll be back. But you know what? After 6 months, I kind of gave that thing up. I'm not going to come back. I'm not going to be doing that. I'm going on with what God has. And every time he spoke, there was always a very much of a challenge in our personal lives. And isn't that your life? You know, I was thinking about if we had faith as a mustard seed, we could. It tells us in Luke 17 that you could actually speak to a tree, mulberry tree, and say, be cast into the sea, and it would be cast into the sea. Okay, have you tried to do that lately with an oak tree, mulberry tree? I don't even know what a mulberry tree looks like, but that was the deal. Have you did that lately? And would it be beneficial to you to throw a tree into the sea? I don't know. You know, and you talk about the mysteries of God. That's some mysteries, you know, that Jesus was talking about. But I think he was indicating something much greater, that we have the power to speak. Even if we had the faith, even if we come up and just said, I have the faith to say something powerful, and it'll begin to happen. And so we have faith and we have faithfulness. How many people understand faithfulness? You know, usually when you hear faith, you're always going, okay, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have faith for that. I'm going to have faith for this. But faithfulness is the product of faith. And faith is the currency from heaven. So if you grab something that God spoke, you know, the first day when I heard this statement, I went back to Sandra and I said, I took a walk this morning very early, and it was probably 4:30 in the morning, and he said, go to Thief River Falls and be faithful. I'm going, okay, Thief River Falls. And we had just really kind of got our life together. Our business was doing good, this, that. So what do you do with that word? You know, you just say, well, you know what, God, it was a good idea, but I'm not going to do that. And I could have said that, and I think many people have had that challenge. And we were talking about Gideon. Gideon had that challenge, didn't he? He was down in the wine press. He was doing his deal. He was, you know, he was hiding from the Midianites. And in other words, he was hiding from the battle that lurked over his life. If he would reject that, then he wouldn't get into the battle. He wouldn't get into the fight. How good is that? Who wants to get into a fight? Anyone? Well, if you were sure that you were going to win, you could probably say, maybe I'll jump in there. Okay? Maybe if I would get into the fight and I know that I'm going to win, that I'm going to win, and it's going to be glorious, I might jump into the fight. But Gideon didn't really know that. He just had the word of the Lord. How many people have had the word of the Lord to go somewhere, to do something? Yeah, like this last year, you had to step out in what? Faith. And faith is the currency, cash currency of heaven. Now, faithfulness is something that you're going to have to stay in there, because it says faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. So what are you hoping for? Especially when God speaks to you, he tells you specifically what you're going to do, so now you're hoping for that, right? But now you're going to have to step out in it, and it looks like, okay, how can I step out in this? The water's a little cool. But when you do step out into it, what happens? The challenge begins. The faith realm begins. The faithfulness begins. And sometimes it lasts for years. Actually, it lasts forever. If you apply faith, when God speaks something, you apply it, it'll lead you to another place. And I was thinking about that first day when God spoke to me at 4:30 in the morning. I went home to Sandy and I said, you know, this is what the Lord has spoke to me. I thought she'd just say, you're crazy. We just got our stuff together here. And she said, if the house would sell, and what else were we selling? Uh-huh. The business. Okay, you know, I was a young person, you know, and I'm going to sell my business like it was worth anything, you know. But I did have some equipment and stuff like that. But in 2 weeks' time, everything happened. because I heard God. I said, okay, let's take a step towards that, and everything happened. Now that's good because, you know, God is faithful, he's true. But, you know, it was a very, very tough situation because I didn't want to step into that because you're a little bit on the nervous side, more like Gideon. Maybe I'll stay down on the wine press and grind out some of this stuff and not get into the fight. You remember the next day after, or very shortly after, Gideon made, when the angel of the Lord came and talked to him, he had to make a choice, didn't he? He could have stayed there, and I don't know what God would have did, but God told him that he was going to rise up, and he went in, and you remember he started tipping over the gods of the land and the 300. He took on the Midianites, fought the Midianites. Now, would that be a little bit frightening? Could be. Whole army of Midianites, here you are, Mr. Gideon. His father wasn't even with him. His father had kind of sold out to other gods. And here Gideon is, and he's making that choice. I shouldn't even say he's making a choice. He heard the voice of God, and that was the choice. And so when he stepped into that positional place, it changed everything. Gideon become a warrior. Gideon become a fighter that's going to stand in there and fight every force that is going to come against you. You think forces come against you? You think this last, let's say the last 5 years, some of the toughest forces has come against, I think, all of us in this church, in the move of God, in any sense of the word, except we heard God's voice. You know, 3-4 years ago, we heard shift. What does that mean? You know, we believed in it, and it was such a cool word, you know, shift. You know, type shift. But the shift was that means that you're going to have to change, amen? And I remember in my younger days when we said, well, we're going to have 21 nights of meetings at Strawberry Lake, and Jack Hines was preaching, and, oh, man, we're going to have them meet. We're going to have revival meetings. Ooh, wow, that's going to be so cool. But the fact is, it was the fight of our lives. I don't know if anyone went 21 nights in up on the Indian Reservation at any time, but we took the thing on. And you know what? It was glorious. Everything went perfectly, not a hitch in any way, shape, or form, or wrong. You know, it just started, I mean, the battle was on. And this little church that started out with 13 and it wasn't even 3 years old, yet the battle was on. We took it on, except we didn't expect quite the battle, you know, how it was going to look. And so we had the 21 nights of meetings, and we were going. And, you know, about the fourth day, Fred Soaring, his son was attacked by a dog and ripped into his face. Just, I mean, it was an ugly deal. And we're starting going, okay, well, now we're having these meetings, and how can we relate with this to this? And then we had Adam fall into the basement of a when he was 4 years old, and they had to cut him from head or right across his head. So what's going on here, God? Now we're calling out, if we have faith as a mustard seed, that you could say to that mulberry tree, be cast into the sea, and it'll happen. Now, we made a decision because God told us to do that. But now the battle is on, and we have to stand in the currency, and the currency is what? Faith. It's the currency of heaven. In fact, Joel Osteen wrote a book on that. The currency of heaven is faith. And so when you're going to have to put a few more faith deals in there, especially when someone fell into a basement and they cut them from ear to ear. Okay, the dog went and bit the pastor's son, tore his face up. The next time, the pastor's moving a piano, and this piano, he tripped and fell, and the piano fell on his leg and broke his leg. Okay, so now we're having a good time. this faith deal. But the fact is, Jack Hines come running out. You know, Jack was kind of our hero at the time and still is. But he come out running, and he laid hands on Fred Soaring, and he rebuked anything that was going on there, and he said, be healed and stand up. Get up. He said, I preached with two broken legs. I'm going, all right, well, and you know what? Fred Soaring stood up, and he walked, and he didn't go to the doctor. But he knew that. He'd heard that crack and bust, and God healed him. But you know, in the battles that are going on, when you're in the battle, when you hear God's voice, there's going to be a battle. And you think about Gideon, it was a battle. But you know, every battle was won when he applied faithfulness to that battle, from faith to faithfulness. Amen? It's kind of like having the $100 bill, but you're getting a $100 bill every day. He's keeping you faithful. Hey, man, we got currency. We got currency. And Adam, of course, he was supernatural. Actually, we about lost him. But it was a supernatural act of God that saved him. The young man that got bit by the dog and ripped up his face, there were superficial wounds, and he did all right. Fred's leg got healed, and we did get all the way through to 21 nights of meetings, and they were phenomenal. We had busted almost like the sound barrier in the realm of the spirit. You know what I'm saying? When you're at 680 and it's going to take 700 miles an hour to break that sound barrier, you got to go there. And I really believe that we're in a season and a time and in a place that God is wanting us to go to sound barrier breaking power of God. You know, I really believe that. And sometimes you look around, you're going, man, what's going on, God? Well, God's the same God that did it back there to here. And the miracles that you just walk in completely and at all times. Is it easy? This year has probably been the toughest year I've ever run into. Now, many of you probably don't know that, and you probably don't need to know everything, but the fact is it's been a real tough year. Well, Jake, you must, you know, in your mind you're thinking, well, what am I doing wrong? Why am I going through all this stuff? Why is this all happening? And you know, Joan had a prophetic word to my wife last week, and it wasn't questions like that. It was the realm of faith. It was the realm of saying, this is what's going on. It's not your fault. It's this, this, and this. And it was like adrenaline going to the place where you stand up and you say, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight for it. And I really believe that throughout our lives that we need to fight for something. You know, back in Richwood, the prophetic word that Jack Hines gave me, and that was so many years ago, that was probably 40 years ago, and it was and 6 months into the things of God, he said, you're an apostle. I'm going, okay, sounds good to me. What is that? And you know, it took many years to start understanding what that is. But then you just have to become what God says that you are. Because if you do not do that, then you're not running faith, right? You know, if Jeff isn't a prophet of the Most High God, well then he and believes it, then he's not walking in faith, right? How many people have had the word of the Lord over your life? You had a word that you just like, ah. Well, the responsibility goes to faith, your currency. How much currency do you have? You got all the currency of heaven to make that thing happen. Amen? And so you get that currency and you start walking it. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. I understand that. You know, we were soldiers. We're not going to go out. We're training. We're doing all of these things. Just think, in 2.5 years, Jim, Mary, Sandra, myself moved from our, you know, place where we had the kind of the stuff going, and we moved to Thief River Falls, or started meetings in Thief River Falls. 3 years later, we were in Thief River Falls, and we were building church. You know, and why is that? Is that our great faith? Well, we believed God's word, and then we went and did it. You know, and of course, when you do that, oh, it's going to be a terrible thing. The devil's going to win. The devil never wins. He never wins if you don't quit. He never wins if you have faith and you heard it and you're faithful. It makes no difference who's going to come against you. If the word of the Lord has been spoken over your life, you're going to see the prosperity of God in every aspect of your life. Amen? You know, we moved up here. We thought we'd sacrificed everything, and we sold our house, and we sold this, and we did that. And in fact, about two and a half years later, we were worth twice as much as we were worth 2.5 years before that, if you're hearing what I'm saying, at least on paper. So each time you move, you know, sometimes you'd say, well, I bought a house. Why did you buy a house? Because I felt like God wanted us to upgrade. If you're always staying in the same place, then you probably never get your upgrade, right? And does God speak to you? Like this morning, did God speak to me about that rain? Because we were here yesterday morning, and we were praying about the rain, and we were very... I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, look at all the bean crops. And the beans were the most beautiful beans. They're about this tall if you drove through the area. And then the corn crop, that corn took off. It was probably chest high by the 4th of July, which they always say knee high. And it was this, but it was that rain deal. We needed the latter rain. We needed the latter rain. Now, I don't know if they had enough rain. And the point is, he said this morning to me, he said, you release the rain on the area. We prayed yesterday. And I thought maybe that was the deal. But he said, you speak it out right now while you're laying on your bed. So I started speaking out, Lord, I just believe that the rain is going to come. We're just going to see 1.5 inches of rain. It's going to be a $1 billion rain. God, I believe that you... Of course, it wasn't hard to believe. I had lightning, I had every thunder, I had everything going, but the rain wasn't coming. And I really believe that by our words and by our belief systems, we can release and we can do things that are so mind-boggling that it'd blow our mind. We'd say, I want miracles every day. I want that type of power every day. Currency of heaven, faith. Faith is a powerful, powerful deal. And I just really believe that the battles that we will fight in the end days, and I really believe these are the end days. These are the days that all the books have been written about and money has been spent on. But these are the days that we're living in. You could look at the Middle East. You could look at Russia. You could look at China. You could look at all these places. You could line up everything, and you could write a book about it. But these are the days. So how are we going to act in these days? You know, are we going to act with any type of fear? Any questions? No. No fear. Are we going to act in... How are we going to act? Danny, what do you think? Please do.
Well, I just look around this congregation that's here right now, and I just want to speak into you because the Lord called us up here, but he also called you to this church.
Absolutely.
And you fought the battle with us. You guys have fought the battle. You fought individual battles, family battles, church battles. But we were called to take territory. We were called to come up here and to take ground for a spiritual church, to be established here, to be a training center, a resource center. And we were called up here to raise up young children. We were called up here to have a college. We were called up here to make warriors. And I just believe that you guys are warriors. You're warriors because you've had to fight. And so I just want to say, you know, the battle, Jake and I probably wanted to resign 3 or 4 times. But we couldn't. We couldn't because God called us here. And you go through the battle. And you guys have probably wanted to leave. Because the battle has gotten heavy. It's gotten. But we're warriors and we're winners. And something shifted last Sunday. I know it did. Something shifted for this church last Sunday. And we're just want to say, you guys are the army. You're an army. And you're fighters. You're like Gideon that was down in that wine press. You know what? He was being faithful. He was feeding his family. He was grinding out stuff for his family to feed his community and to feed his family. He was being faithful, but there's something about being diligent. There's something about taking on the enemy. And there's a new level of taking on the enemy in this city.
Yeah.
It says things start here, but they go into the city. You think about the many things that have started here but have gone into the city. And we're on the outskirts of this city, but we have taken ground. Our city is prospering, it really is. But it's in a battle. And you know what? There's a prayer house down there praying.
Amen.
It started here, but it's there now.
Yeah.
It's in the center of the city. We started here, but we're living in the center of the city. You guys, we're taking ground in the city. Things are being exposed. Things are being brought out. If we knew everything that our prayers that have been, you know, answered, you know. But Gideon had to be diligent, and he had to hear the word of the Lord. And I just want to encourage you right now. If you have a word of the Lord for someone, two people
yes.
gave me a word of the Lord last week. I needed it.
Yeah.
I needed it. I needed to be encouraged in the battle. It was like on the battlefield and somebody had your back. We're in a war. We got each other's back.
Yeah.
We're fighting together. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. That's where our battle is. It's in the heavenlies. We fight against sickness. We fight against these things that the enemy wants to come in, and he wants to discourage us. But we might be a few in here, but we're powerful. It's a powerful army in here. And you know what? Gideon took 10 men. 10 men to go in and tear down the groves and the Baal. But you know, whatever the word of the Lord is over you, you have a enemy against your call, and we better know what it is. Every one of you in here has an enemy against your call, because the devil does not want to see you prosper. He comes to rob, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. He's a lion that goes around, and he's frightening, and he's biting, and he's doing things, and he's devouring. But he's not the powerful one. The army
That's right.
of God is.
That's right.
The army of God is the powerful one.
Yeah.
We have all the power. Gideon had all the power.
Mm.
All he had to do was believe the word of the Lord and go in and do it. And I just know that I just decree and declare over you guys, you are mighty warriors. You are fighting battles in the heavenlies, and you're tearing down strongholds.
Yes.
And we're building
yes.
an area in this place that goes to the nations. I mean, guys, if you would just see that your eyes be open to what has been accomplished through you guys fighting your individual family battles, your battles in this church. You're taking territory. We are making progress. The word of the Lord over this worship team was that it was going to be a sound that would permeate to the nations.
Yeah.
I just want to decree and declare over you worship leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's been a major attack on your life. Because they don't want worship to come out of this place.
No, no, no.
There's a sound of worship that breaks down. And I mean, it's the battle of praise and worship. It's a weapon. And I just decree and declare over you that what those words of the Lord over you and the worship team, it's coming forth with a sound. And I just release it from heaven today. I release that new sound. I release those new words.
Yes.
I release
yes.
those songs, those lyrics that are going to break the atmosphere. They're powerful.
Powerful.
They're powerful, and it's coming out of this church. So I just want to encourage this worship team. It's part of the battle. It's part of the battle of this church. So if you're called to praise and worship in this church, you're fighting a battle, and there's an enemy against you. And we know what was against Lucifer. What took Lucifer out? I tell you, we have to know the enemy. I mean, an apostle, I'm sorry. Because you're part of this church, you enter into apostolic battles.
Yeah.
You could go to a different church and you would not have to battle that. But you're here, and I just want to encourage you, the home church here, the warriors, that we're in a battle, but we are going to win. Gideon was such a mighty warrior. You read that, what he did. And, you know, we're taking territory. And I'm sorry, I'm a little bit fired up. A little fired up. But you know what? There was healing in this place last Sunday. Yes. There's healing in this place today. And I release it on Paulette, my friend.
Yes.
You know, she's been in a battle for her life. We've been in a battle. And whatever is coming against, we are going to have the opposite. And we have been destroying negativity. We don't, if you are talking bad about someone, if you have confusion or all these things, that is the enemy. That is negativity. We don't fight against flesh and blood. I've had major attacks on my life this last week. But you know what? It's against my call. I'm called to be a daycare provider here in this community. Do you know how many people wanted to quit daycare a couple of weeks ago because of the enemy is throwing stuff around? Because you just want to quit. Why do I have to enter into this battle? But no, we're called to it. We have to fight the battle. We have to fight those enemies. And you know what? We're going to win. Yep. We're winning. We're winning. We're winning. And you know what? God always says, fear not. That's the first thing he told Gideon. Hey, Gideon, fear not. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with you. So if God's for us, who can be against us? So if you guys have written your resignation and wanting to leave the church, we have to. We have to. But you know what? We're still here. Not because of greatness in us. You're not here because you're so great. You're here because the Lord's called you here, and you're fighting the battles. And I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart that you fought the battles with us. Amen.
Amen. That's good preaching there. Hallelujah. Well, this is the way we fight our battles, apparently. Jeremy, could you, if you would, could we switch into another mode here? I heard a powerful song. This is the way we fight our battles. And it was about the Assyrian army surrounded Elisha and his servant. And the servant was pretty concerned because the whole army of Assyria had surrounded him. And they wanted to kill the prophet because the prophet kept on revealing things that the Assyrian king was doing. So there was, he was very upset with the prophet and wanted to kill him. And then the messenger or the servant come in and he said, "Hey, we're surrounded. We're in trouble." And Elisha said, "Why don't you open up? Lord, could you just open up the servant's eyes?" And so his eyes were open, and they seen the army of the Assyrian army, but then they seen the army of the Lord that was surrounding the army of Assyria that was surrounding Elisha and his servant. And Michael W. Smith had wrote a song on this, and I really believe that it applies to us right now at this time, whether it be your business. I know there's some business people, whether it be a health situation, that the powers that maybe said that we couldn't do it, we can do it because God never fails. And he says yes and amen. He doesn't say no, because he is an aggressive captain, aggressive general going forth, and he will not lose. And I want to be on his team, amen. So if you would just stand, just for your comfort probably, why don't we stand up? And I could have had Jake on it, but he's been kind of working on it. But let's just consider this. And maybe, Jeremy, if we can go through it twice, and that might not, Michael might be upset with that, but we'll try to get it through twice. And Father, this is how we fight our battles. God, it wasn't by might or power or the ability of Elisha or his servant. And it wasn't by power that the Assyrian army was going to take over and kill the prophet and stop the voice, but it was God that spoke it, and Elisha believed it, and he had his servant's eyes open to it. And when that happened, the army actually was struck with blindness. And I really believe when Sandy said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. In other words, we don't fight against our friends, family, or whatever's going on. We fight against principalities and powers in other places that are wanting to stop your faith in the currency of heaven. So would you play that, buddy?
The word says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. And that's how we fight our battles.
Yeah.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. What we're doing tonight. This is how I fight my battles. Just when you think you're lost. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Father, we believe that this is how we fight our battles. And whatever battle that might be in a person's life. And I don't care. I really don't care what it is. The currency of heaven can take care of it. You paid a price that we could never pay. A price that cost life to be brought back into planet Earth. Eternal life. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. But we thank you today that Paulette has been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Jim right now in that situation right now. He is healed. He is whole. This is how we fight our battles. Hallelujah. This ankle right here, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, be whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood disease in your body, be gone, out, up and out of your body in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Father, we ask, Lord, for any forces that would try to hold this man back from being all that you've called him to be, that he is a faith man and he's going to walk in faithfulness and he's going to begin to see the battle of the Lord, and he will prosper in everything that he does because he's walking in the realms of the power of the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Heal Danny in any area, and also Linda in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we ask for businesses. Every business would begin to prosper. We've been in a battle. Of course, the enemy does not want us to prosper, but we're not working for the enemy. We're working for God. So we believe, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work in every aspect of this congregation. And Father, we thank you for the people that have left here. And they're out doing the mighty work of God. We thank you for a JP. We thank you for a Jim and Mary. We thank you for a Linda and Paul. We thank you for these folks that have left. And sometimes it's not easy. But God, we get through and we go through. And the things that we go through, Lord, all we're going to say, this is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. Thank you for the prophetic words that were spoken over my wife's life. Thank you, Lord, for the prophetic words that are spoken over each one of us now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We believe, God, I just believe that, David, you've got such a mighty call in your life. In fact, it's almost like it's time, it's the season, it's the ability to move in, because your spirit has been purified and you have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And you've walked in humility. And I believe that God has a positional place in the realms of the heavenlies for you, even in this year, that you're going to start saying, hey, I'm going to step out, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and I'm going to take that position. I'm going to take that position because, God, you gave it to me. We release it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Wade, the stirring of the Holy Spirit, the stirring over your life, Wade, is you've understood, you know the battle, you know how it is, and you understand that faith has a voice, and you understand that God in heaven has the provisions and everything to come through for us. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you reveal to Wade, as you revealed the Syrian army and the army of the Lord, they were surrounding. It was surrounding. So sometimes when we think we have the enemy surrounding us, God, it's also the army of the Lord is surrounding them. We release it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, for the gifts and the callings. We went through all of that, whether it be prophetically, all the school of the supernatural. We ask, Lord, that each person will step up into their place. The Gideon place is all right. He was providing for the family and everything, but Lord, that they'll step up in that place that will take them and bring them into greatness in every aspect of their life. We release your blessings, Lord, upon each one of these men and women. Father, we ask for Elaine right now, God, that even the strength of God, you told us that you would be with us to the hoary hairs of our head. And Lord, I just believe, God, that there's a great purpose, there's a great plan for Elaine, as far as for the children around them, and even the message that she has for this next generation. We release that upon her in a mighty, mighty dimension now. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, bless the name of the Lord. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. God bless you. May you go with the strength and the power of the Lord. May he be with you this next week, this next season of time. Let's just really believe that there is an army surrounding, and the enemy is going to be blinded so that we can go about and do what we're supposed to do. God bless you. You're dismissed. If anyone is needing prayer right afterwards, we're here. We want to pray. That'd be fantastic.